After Jesus leaves the desert that we hear about today, he makes his way into Galilee, which is for him home territory, since Nazareth is in Galilee. There he meets Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And we're told that crowds gathered around, and so like another Moses, up the mountain he goes, and there he unfolds the conditions of a new covenant that will be sealed in his blood. Like the commandments which expressed the old covenant, the Beatitudes that Jesus speaks unfold the conditions and the promises of the new covenant. And into that covenant we will venture this week during our parish mission. These Beatitudes are not pious hopes for what shall be. They're not glowing prophecies about some future bliss. They are exclamations about what is. It's not for some future world postponed. It is a state into which a Christian has already entered. The Beatitudes are a proclamation of what it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They proclaim the conditions in which people live, the covenant. St. Augustine wrote a powerful commentary on the Beatitudes, and he said that anyone who ponders the Sermon on the Mount will find there the perfect standard of Christian life. Because the Beatitudes are directed inward toward our own poverty and our own spiritual peace. They are not about someone else or some other time. Augustine insists that the Beatitudes describe the attitudes that lead to satisfaction or holiness. If you want to find out how to be holy, internalize the Beatitudes. When you recognize someone who is holy, you've recognized the Beatitudes being lived. So that's exactly what I would like to do with you three nights this week. Reflect upon the attitudes, or the Beatitudes, that lead us to a holy life. Early in life, we develop a sense of how one thing leads to another, and it makes us kind of become calculating. We think, if I do this, then I'm going to look good and be in a position for getting that. Once you delve into the mystery of God, who is present without a past or a future, then there isn't any such thing as working your way into a good position in dealing with God. Because there is no past or no future. There's no time with God. It is present. So we don't have to work out how to get into a good position for having a relationship with God. We don't have to put on a happy face or be acting pious and holy. Think of it this way. A man ran up to Jesus and said to him, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" There is no answer to that question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Because it's irrelevant, and actually it's counterproductive. We can't do anything. It's already been done by the man on the cross. Because of that, we must be something. Get it? That's be attitude. Okay? There is no reason to think that if only I had nicer neighbors, or if only I knew how to pray, or if only I was more humble, everything would be great. There is no if, and there's no if only with God. It's always a matter of what is in the present. We do not have to figure out how to explain our position to God. God cuts through all of that. God knows. Forget the excuses and the blaming for heaven's sake. We're exactly what God made. Good. And we cannot be other than what God has made. If we're other than what God has made, then God didn't make us. There's a wonderful old spiritual writer that I kind of love to read and work with. Meister Eckhart is his name. Once he wrote that a truly spiritual person does not seek tranquility because they are in no way hampered by the lack of it. The Beatitudes are not goals or some kind of perfection that we must achieve. Trying to become poor, for example, is completely absurd. First, it's all about trying, which is not the same thing as doing it, okay? It's a completely different experience. It's like pretending, or like acting, or like trying out for a play. We must not try. We must discover what we are. Poor. And the best thing to do is stop trying. We are all, in the end, equally privileged but unentitled beggars at the door of God's mercy. We are poor. The Beatitudes, they kind of draw a strange picture of one who's blessed because they're poor, they're unimpressive, they're hungry, they're in mourning, they're trodden on, yet they're able to make peace. We always think of those poor when we think of the poor. And then most likely we move on to a rather condescending concern. We got to improve their lot, those poor people. Or maybe worse, we indulge in some highly dramatic version of I in my poverty and my pain. And then we go ranting around the stage like some badly produced melodrama. Because you know what? It's hard to say I'm poor and let it go at that. Usually we want to say I'm poor. And you know something should be done about it. Or I'm poor. How about giving me a hand? We always want some outrage about poverty. Well, there's a beatitude about it. We have to turn it into something else because a beatitude is something different. The beatitudes are about me, not someone else. Blessed are you is the way it goes. It doesn't say blessed are those poor. So the Beatitudes are a call to see ourselves in a way that does not come easy for us. We have to give up the whole effort to see ourselves in a good light. Righteousness for a follower of Christ does not feel like righteousness in the world the way sees righteousness. You see, the world's way is a do-it-yourself kind of righteousness or justification. What do I have to do to be saved? That's the world speaking in that man who runs up to Jesus. Because in the world, what you do makes you righteous. And the consequence is the feeling then that I deserve something. Look what I've done. You can hear that, you know, in the prayers of those who complain to God. How could this happen to me? I've been so faithful and so prayerful. What did I do to deserve this? That's the kind of thinking Jesus came to confront and challenge. People at his time were sick and lame and blind and deaf. They were not suffering because of their sin or the sins of their parents. Feelings and expectations that we deserve something because of something we've done or refrained from doing are, in the face of God, ridiculous. You know, there's a powerful and somewhat troubling parable about a servant who works all day, and when night comes, that same servant who's worked all day puts on an apron and then waits on the master. Why? Because that's what they are. servants. And they don't deserve something else. You see, it's not about deserving or earning. It is about grace, about beauty of grace, and the attitude of someone who lives in the state of grace. When we feel ourselves poor and humiliated and desperate and all the rest of it, that's when we really qualify for the label blessed. So if you want to count yourself among the blessed and discover what it really means, then come and join me Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, and we'll explore it.